Spittle is standing by on the phone to talk about the latest, his latest report, which is about a shocking, actually a shocking situation in northern, not southern Wisconsin, but where was this taking place? The DNR went on this guy's property, promptly, you know, claimed he was an aggressor on his own property, and then had him thrown in jail for a year. Where did all this take place, Matt?
Yeah, that was southwest Wisconsin.
Oh, southwest
Lafayette
Wisconsin.
County.
Okay,
yeah.
Lafayette County, so where near where the windmills are. Not too far from the windmill area. Okay, so southern Wisconsin. So here we've got this guy, and he's a farmer in southwest Wisconsin. And he's on his property, well onto his property, and he's monitoring his own property because people illegally hunt his property all the time. And a couple of DNR wardens open up a gate to his pasture, come onto his property. They're wearing blaze orange, so he thinks they're hunters. He says, "Get off my land." And they proceed to try to disarm him. A scuffle ensues, and he's the guy who's now a felon and thrown in jail for a year. How did this all go down, and then what ultimately happened to try to make this right?
Well, it's an awful story, as you just described it. I mean, that's it. Robert Steets, a 64-year-old farmer at the time, he's 69, this happened back in 2012, was very late in the day, it was just about night, the last day of the gun deer season, and he is checking fence line on his property because he's had all kinds of problems with trespassers on his land. It's clearly marked. And all of a sudden, a couple of guys in blaze orange come his way. That's a very important point, the clothing that they're wearing, blaze orange. It's dark. He can't see the insignia. It says DNR on it. And these two guys come up. According to the court files, they either mumbled or did not clearly state that they were DNR game wardens. And he asked them what the hell they were doing there. And they decide that they're going to try to disarm him. So they pull his gun from him. They wrestle him to the ground. This thing could have been horrible.
Deadly.
This could have been a deadly, this is the thing that you read about all the time. How many times these things turn just very violent, deadly? Somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets killed. Well, he's on the ground. He sees one of the guys going for a handgun. He pulls out his handgun. There's a standoff. Lafayette County Sheriff's Department deputies come out a little bit later, and they finally convince him to put his gun down. After they guarantee they won't gang tackle him. They arrest him, they promptly bring him into custody, and he goes through a trial, and the judge in Lafayette County does not even allow him to bring up a Sixth Amendment issue, which is his right to self-defense. He can't even bring that up in the trial. So this is a two-part problem. He's already dealing with DNR agents who are going on his land, and we'll get to that in just a minute, and he's dealing with the issue that he can't raise a self-defense issue. So he ends up being convicted and sentenced to 1 year, and he spends a year in prison until in June of this year, the state Supreme Court in a 4-2 ruling said, this is wrong. This is wrong from the get-go, but it's wrong ultimately because he should have been allowed to provide self-defense, and the judge in the case told the jury to disregard that. Now, what is going on here is that Mr. Steets is the face of a bill by State Representative Adam Jarko that would end this notion that DNR wardens can just pop onto your land, your private property, anytime, without the very basic, the lowest threshold of Fourth Amendment rights. And that is, in this case, reasonable suspicion. And the reason I wrote this piece is because the DNR apologist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes this story about how horrible this law would be. It would take away the rights of the government. Of the DNR wardens,
well, yeah,
how horrible that would be.
Yeah, first mistake, government doesn't have rights. We, the people, have rights. The government doesn't have rights, period. Full stop. The government does not have rights. It has authority, but it doesn't have rights. We actually have a condition in Wisconsin where the DNR has been told that it has the authority, without any kind of suspicion or anything, to just go on your land whenever it feels like it.
Yep, and that's from some very long-standing law called Open Fields Policy, or Open Fields Law, that basically says the DNR, law enforcement in this case, can go and drop onto your property if it's not adjacent right next to your home or your dwelling. And Rebecca Bradley, Supreme Court Justice, wrote it. I would encourage anybody to read this this case. It's so important, and her concurring opinion in this. But she wrote, basically, are you kidding me? This guy is on his, well within his property. His car is parked on his land a quarter mile from the road, and the DNR agents drop by because they're going to play the heavy on this last day of gun deer season. And it ends up
Causing a guy's freedom.
This guy.
Causing a guy's freedom.
Freedom and over $100,000, I'm told, to defend himself.
So he's got a new trial, right? I mean, he's been granted a new trial.
Yep.
Okay. This piece of legislation would say to the DNR, you have to have some kind of suspicion that something's going weird. You don't just simply get to open a pasture gate, because it's important, remember. These two opened a pasture gate, so they made an effort to, knowing it's private land, opened a pasture gate. They're wearing blaze orange. They're not, you know, wearing big, you know, neon signs that say DNR or anything like this. This guy assumes, because he's had problems before, they're just hunters, because that's exactly what they look like. They don't make it abundantly clear, and he's the bad guy, again, on his own property. And then he can't say, look, I thought they were hunters, and I thought they were trying to take my gun and hurt me. Couldn't even offer that up as an explanation for his behavior on his own land in Lafayette County.
That, and you just nailed it right there. On his own land. The proponents, or I should say the opponents, of Jarko's bill, and many of them include former DNR wardens who testified at a hearing last week on this bill. Oh, my goodness, they're up in arms. How are we going to be able to govern and to enforce our natural resource laws and protect our natural resources? And the guy who wrote this piece for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their outdoor reporter, said, this will set back natural resources protection back, 100 years or whatever. We would lose these, again, as you pointed out, government doesn't have rights, but this guy tends to think that the government has the rights in all of this, and the citizen can go pound sand. But this would take away the government's right to be able to, to effectively govern natural resources. Well, whatever happened to private property rights? Those are significantly more sacred than this notion that the government can go onto your land for any reason, no suspicion, for whatever reason, and it can arrest you and do whatever it wants without
private
a warrant, without going through property
property. Private right. Property operating phrase here. Nothing prevents the DNR from going onto public property, but if you're going to go onto private property, you either have to have a suspicion, or here's what you do: you make a phone call and you say, "Hi, we're the DNR. We just want to make sure that everything's copacetic. So, we'd like to make an appointment to come visit your property. Is that okay?" That didn't happen here. They just assumed authority. I'm not saying all, and just like the Steetzes did not say all DNR wardens, but some DNR wardens let that authority go to their head, and they assume that your private property rights end at their paycheck, apparently, which is absurd. Now, this piece of legislation simply says, yeah, on private property, you're going to have some suspicion here. Feel free, but again, the DNR always had the ability to just simply make a phone call. And say, is it okay if we just come and take a look at your land? We just want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, that would have been easy enough. Now, the argument, of course, from the advocates of carte blanche DNR enforcement tools is that during a 9-day gun deer season or whatever, this is about going after poachers and people who shouldn't be there and people who are breaking the law and abusing our natural resources and all those things. And that's fine. But they are the same ilk that says we go after anybody and everybody in the name of law enforcement and to be damned with the Fourth Amendment. Forget about the Constitution. And that's not law and order. That is
what was this? What,
to,
but that's not about poaching. What they did to this man was not about trying to stop a poacher. They just wanted to. They just wanted to roust a guy. That's all they wanted to be. They didn't have any suspicion to think he was poaching deer. None whatsoever. He's checking fence lines. In fact, just if you'd have watched him for 20 minutes, you probably would have seen. All right, he's checking fence lines. Must be the farmer, you know. And if you want to have a conversation with that guy, certainly nothing prevents the DNR from doing that. But you don't just simply say, we're going to disarm you. You say, hey, man, how's it going? You know, we're from the DNR. Just want to make sure that everything's okay. You see any hunters, you know, trespassing on your land? That is actually dealing with the problem of poaching or some of the problems that might be related to gun deer season. Not just going and shaking down some guy because they happened to see a car and didn't even think that it might be possible. It was a farmer trying to protect himself from trespassers.
Yeah, and the problem is that these two DNR wardens are not alone. Now, this may be among the more extreme, perhaps arguably the most extreme situation where we see a guy go to jail,
go to prison
because
yeah.
of this sort of
he's
thing.
He's a felon. Now he can't hunt or vote.
He can't own a gun anymore to protect his land
he
from
can't vote. He can't even vote.
But a lot of folks will tell you in rural places around this state that Mr. Robert Steets and his family have not been the only ones that have gone through situations where the DNR is popping onto their land, abusing authority in the name of this open fields policy where they can do whatever they want without regard to suspicion and, quite frankly, without regard to the Constitution. This is not an isolated case. This is stuff, if you talk to farmers and landowners around this state, it happens more than has been accounted.
They sought out some of their input as well for this piece of legislation. This wasn't Adam Jarko just saying, oh, I just think I'll do this because I'm bored today. It's because people had reached out to his office and contacted him and said, hey, you know, you've got some people in the DNR who actually think that they're the natural resources equivalent of the Gestapo, and this has got to stop. This has been a long, long complaint from property owners in Wisconsin and hunters in Wisconsin. And, you know, reining it in to say you just have to have a basic suspicion is not obliterating the protection of natural resources. That is stupid.
Yeah. And Vicki, I shared the link to Sue Steets' testimony last week. It was captured on Wisconsin Eye. And it was very moving. At some points, heartbreaking what this family has gone through. And one of the things she said that I think folks should pay close attention to is she was told by neighbors and people that the Steetses knew, family and friends, at a certain point, you're not going to win. The DNR is always going to win. They have the authority. They have the power. And if they would have listened to them, Bob Steets would never be in a position where he is today, having a chance, a real chance under the law to really defend himself. And maybe to defend, using this situation to defend others just like him.
Yeah, I thought that article in the Milwaukee Journal Center didn't even reference what had happened to this farmer. Didn't even reference it. How shameful that is. We assume that the newspapers are supposed to be there for the people, but I guess sometimes we just conclude the newspapers are there for the deep state. And we got one in Wisconsin, too.
It was a real sin of omission, no doubt about it.
Good to have you on the program. By the way, read Matt's latest at MacIverInstitute.com. It's right there on the front page. It's appalling. And all of the embedded links are there, too. You can click into and watch the Wisconsin Eye testimony. You can read the background on this case. It's infuriating. Thanks for being on the show, Matt.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, Vicki.
Good to have you on the program. We'll be right back.